Dear children, did you ever see a bear? Perhaps not. There are no bears wild in this country now. There are some kept fastened up in wild beast shows or carried about in cages. But there are none loose in the woods and fields, so perhaps you never saw a bear. A bear is a large, shaggy, savage wild beast with great teeth and claws and very strong. It will kill sheep and lambs and calves and goats and eat them. When it is very hungry, it will attack men, women, or children and tear them to pieces. She-bears that have little cubs are particularly fierce and cruel. How thankful we ought to be that we can walk about in England without fear of being caught by a bear. Now I'm going to tell you a story about a good man, two bears, and some children. It is a story out of the Bible, and so you may be sure that it is all true. Stories in other books are often only make-believe and tell us things that never really happened. Stories out of the Bible, you must always remember, are true, every word. Never forget that. Once on a time, about 2,700 years ago, there lived a good man whose name was Elisha. He was at first servant to a famous prophet of God named Elijah. After Elijah was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire, Elisha was appointed to be prophet in his place. From that time to his death, he was a very great and a very useful man. He did many miracles. He used to go up and down the land of Israel, teaching people how to serve God and reproving sinners. In some places, he kept up schools called Schools of the Prophets. In this way, he became famous all over the country. All people knew Elisha, and all good people loved him. One day, not long after Elijah had been taken up to heaven, Elisha went to a place called Bethel, where there was a school. I dare say he went to see how the school was getting on, and whether it was doing any good. All schools need looking after and examining, and it does them good to be examined. It is only bad boys and girls who dislike being asked what they have learned. Now, as this good old man Elisha got near Bethel, a very sad thing happened. A great number of little children come out of the town and behaved extremely ill. They began to mock Elisha and called him names. Instead of respecting him and bowing to him like good children, they made game of him and said silly things. "Go up, thou bald head," they cried. "Go up, thou bald head." They called him bald head. I have no doubt because the good prophet was bald with age and had no hair on his head. They said, "Go up." I suspect because his master, Elijah, had lately gone up to heaven, as everybody knew. And they meant that Elisha had better go away after his master and not trouble them any more with his teaching. It was as much as saying, "Be off and be gone. It is high time for you to go up as well as your master." Just think for a moment how wicked these children were. They lived in a town where they might have learned better things. There was a school of prophets at Bethel. But I am afraid they had not used their opportunities and had loved play better than lessons. They had no business to mock at Elisha and treat him so badly. He had done them no harm and had never been unkind to them. He was a good man and one who was their best friend. Above all, they ought not to have said, "Go up and get away." They ought rather to have said, "Stay with us and teach us the way to heaven." Truly, it is sad to see to what lengths of wickedness even little children may go. It is sad to see how corrupt boys and girls may become, and what naughty things they will say, even when they live close to a school. But what did Elisha do when these children behaved so ill? We are told that he turned back and looked on them with sorrow and displeasure. They had probably often done the same thing before. It had become a habit with them which could not be cured. The time had come when they must be punished. And then we are told that he cursed them in the name of the Lord. That does not mean, you may be sure, that Elijah flew into a passion and swore at the children, as some bad old men might have done. He was not the man to do that. It only means that he solemnly pronounced God's anger and displeasure against them. He gravely told them, in the name of the Lord, that God would certainly punish them, and that it was his duty as God's servant to say so. No, indeed, Elisha did not speak in passion or ill temper. The judge at the assizes is not angry with the prisoner when he sentences him to be put in prison. When Elisha pronounced God's curse on these wicked children, he did it as God's appointed servant, firmly and faithfully, but in sorrow. God told him, no doubt, what to do, and like an obedient servant, he did it. And what happened as soon as Elisha had spoken? At once there came forth out of a wood close by two she-bears, which rushed upon these wicked children, tearing and killing all they caught. Think what an awful surprise that must have been. How dreadfully frightened these children must have felt. What running and screaming and tumbling over one another and crying for help there must have been. How sorry and ashamed of themselves they must have felt. But with many it was too late. Before they could get within the walls of Bethel, the bears had caught and killed no less than 42 little children. 42 little boys and girls that night never came home to Bethel alive. 42 little suppers were not eaten. 42 little beds were not slept in. 42 little funerals took place that day. Many children, I cannot help hoping, got home safe and were not hurt. But I am sure they would never forget what they had seen. They would remember the two bears as long as they lived. Now, dear children, this is a sad story, but it is a very useful and instructive one. Like everything else in the Bible, it was written for your good. It teaches lessons which boys and girls ought never to forget. Let me tell you what those lessons are. First, learn for one thing that God takes notice of what children do. He took notice of the little children at Bethel and punished them for their wickedness. Remember, I beg of you, that God is not altered. He is still the same. He is every day taking notice of you. I believe some people fancy that it does not matter how children behave, because God only notices grown-up men and women. This is a very great mistake. The eyes of God are upon boys and girls, and he mocks all they do. When they do right, he is pleased, and when they do wrong, he is displeased. Dear children, never forget this. Let no one make you think that you are too young to serve God, and that you may safely wait till you are men and women. This is not true. It is never too soon to take up religion. As soon as you know right from wrong, you are old enough to begin taking the right way. As soon as you are old enough to be punished for doing wrong, you are old enough to give your heart to God and to follow Christ. The child that is old enough to be chastised for swearing and telling lies is not too young to be taught to pray and read the Bible. The child that is big enough to displease God is also big enough to please him. The child that is old enough to be tempted by the devil is not too young to have the grace of the Holy Spirit in his heart. Children, however little and young you are, God is always noticing you. He notices how you behave at home, how you behave at school, and how you behave at play. He notices whether you say your prayers or not, and how you say them. He notices whether you mind what your mother tells you, and how you go on when out of your mother's sight. He notices whether you are greedy, or selfish, or cross, or tell lies, or take what is not your own. In short, there is nothing about children that God does not notice. I read in the Bible that when little Ishmael was almost dead with thirst in the wilderness, God heard the voice of the lad. Genesis 21:17. Mark that. He listened to the child's prayer. I read that when Samuel was only a little boy, God spoke to him. 1 Samuel 3:10. I read that when Abijah, the child of Jeroboam, was sick and dying, God said by the mouth of his prophet,